Welcome back, everyone, from your vacation. It's good to start continuing with the Chassidus here. We're up to now Kedushas Levi. It's very hard to choose the order, what to go in. Just to remind ourselves who we've discussed already. We've discussed already the Baal Shem Tov, the one who found all the Chassidus. Then we discussed a little bit about his Talmud, who wrote down much of his Chidushim, told us Yaakov Yosef. Then we discussed the Magni Mezrich, who was also a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, but he really created, he started making Chassidus much greater and publicizing it, and to which then we discussed Rav Elimelech Milizinsk, who has really created the concept of what a Rebbe means, and he produced many Rebbes from him. Now we're going to discuss the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev. So now, I know you guys don't have this in front of you, but just whatever you could understand from this, just the kind of the path where we went of this family tree, or Rebbish tree, if you will. The Baal Shem Tov is here, and those are the Talmidim. This is the Magni Mezrich, who is also a Talmud, but he created his own set of dynasties. And then here's the Noam Elimelech. We discussed these three. Told us Yaakov Yosef is down here, but he didn't really have any Talmidim. So under the Magni Mezrich is the Kedushas Levi. I don't have here, on this side here, where like great dynasties were created. Lubavitch and Satmar and Skver were all down here. Kedushas Levi isn't on this. He doesn't have a strong following. In fact, Weinberg and I were at a wedding maybe 2 years ago. And we were sitting at the chuppah, and they called up for a bracha some rebbe from Yibridichev. And he leaned over me and said, there hasn't been one since the Kedushas Levi. So there wasn't such a following, I guess, from his sect of Chassidus, but he is, of course, he contributed a tremendous amount to Chassidus. Certainly his Sefer Kedushas Levi is a very, very important one. It's of the easier ones, the easier way to get into Chassidus, and has tremendous lessons. We'll get to, hopefully, at the end of this series, we'll discuss some of his pieces. Now, he lived in 1740, and he died in 1809. His yahrzeit is Chaf Hei Tishrei. And as I mentioned, he's a Talmud of the Magni Mezrich. He's also the Talmud of Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg. We haven't discussed him yet. He's also a very important Rebbe we'll get to, Mirza Hashem, one of these days. And he's also very intertwined and connected to Lubavitch. His son-in-law was the second Rebbe of Lubavitch, Rav Dov Ber Schneerson. That was his son-in-law. So he's very connected through marriage to Lubavitch as well. So that's a basic background of the Kedushas Levi. Also interesting to note that his mother was a direct descendant from, anyone know who? From the Maharsha. He had yichas from his mother, the Maharsha. He lived in the same time period and had a correspondence with the Prima Gadim. A little bit of a context there of when and who he lived among.
Was he the first Lubavitcher Rebbe?
No, he wasn't Lubavitcher Rebbe, but his son-in-law was the second. So his Machatanim was the first one, yeah. So that's how they connected. His daughter married into Lubavitch. So the most famous story about the Kedushas Levi, Rari Kaplan, in his Sefer, he quotes it, so I'll just use his and read his text of the story. And my kids have these various children books on different tzaddikim, and this is the story that they talk about, the Kedushas Levi, which really captures his personality, what he stood for. Remember Weinberg every year quotes this story, I forget which time of the year, Kedushas Levi, how he was always down the Kaf Schus. I remember the first Shabbos after the summer, he was talking about that idea that he was always down the Kaf Schus. So this idea really, this story captures what he stood for. So I'm just reading from Rav Ari Kaplan here on his chapter on the Kedushas Levi. It's told that a teamster in Berdichev was once saying his morning prayers while at the same time greasing the wheels of his wagon. He was an outlandish sight. It was an outlandish sight. Talus and tefillin together with grease-covered hands. And the townspeople snickered. Look at this ignorant Ramus. These guys wearing tefillin and talus, and he's got his hands full of oil fixing the wagon wheels. So he says, he doesn't know better than to grease. Everyone was saying, there's no better to grease a wagon while praying. Take off your talus and tefillin, and then fix the wheel. So what did Rav Levi Yitzchak say? He came by and remarked, Master of the universe, Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at your Eved Hashem here. Even while greasing his wagon, he's still praising your great and holy name. So that's the idea. I remember Weinberg once said a story a few years ago how his son is not very pleased with him, still hasn't forgiven him for going to a Mets game and learning during a Mets game, or a Yankees game most likely. So a Yankee game, during that game. So he wasn't going to, learn Dafka in the Yankee game. He was going to the Yankee game. While he was at the Yankee game, he was also trying to hop in some extra minutes of learning as well. So the Kedushas Levi said, this guy needs to work on the wagon. While he's in the wagon, he wants to hop some extra moments of wearing talus and tefillin. That was his idea, always looking at the positive side of every single yid. So go through some stories here. We have one here we'll do in just a moment. But to understand the neshama of the Kedushas Levi. It was said about the Kedushas Levi that he would celebrate two Tu B'Shvats. Every year, two Tu B'Shvats. The Seder of Tu B'Shvat, he would celebrate the night that we celebrate, Tu B'Shvat. He'd also celebrate Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Now, why would he celebrate Rosh Chodesh Shvat? It's a very strange thing. She does Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai held that when is Rosh Chodesh? When is the Rosh Chodesh of the Rosh Hashanah of the Ilanos? Rosh Hashanah of the Ilanos is Aleph Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Beis Hillel holds it's Tu B'Shvat. So we pass him like Beis Hillel. So why in the world would the Kedushas Levi be celebrating both Rosh Chodesh and Tu B'Shvat for the Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? So it's brought down in a number of Svarim that's well known apparently, that the Kedushas Levi came from who? Which neshama did he come from? Anyone remember? He's a Gilgal of Rabbi Akiva. He's a Gilgal of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara tells us that he would paskin, he did like both, because he wasn't sure that Beis Hillel held Aleph, even though our Gemara says that Beis Shammai held Aleph Shvat was the Rosh Hashanah, and Beis Hillel says Tu B'Shvat. Rabbi Akiva wasn't sure. He thought maybe Beis Hillel felt it was Aleph Shvat, so he was Makbid, he was Machmir for both Aleph Shvat and for Tu B'Shvat. That was Rabbi Akiva's Shita. And so since Kedushas Levi was a Gilgal, came from the Neshama of Rabbi Akiva, he celebrated both these evenings of the Seder, the Tu B'Shvat Seder. Now it's brought down the Chozem Lublim we have to get to as well. The Choza, you just see in this tree here, this family tree, this Rebbe tree, we did these three. The Chozem Lublim is one of the great also Rebbeim who taught many Talmidim and has a great dynasty to follow him. So the Chozem Lublim, listen to what, again, he was a great tzaddik. It's said about him, it's brought down actually in Tverish Shlomo HaKoyim Redomsk, also a big tzaddik. He writes in his Sefer as follows, that the Chozem Milublin would daven every single day, b'chol yom b'yom, he would dedicate 1 hour of the day to do what? L'hodos u'lahalel, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he sent the neshama of the Kedushas Levi into this world. That is the Chozem Milublin, who here was the Rebbe of many, many great Talmidim who turned out to be Rebbeim themselves. The Chozem himself would dedicate 1 hour a day, or maybe a moment a day, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing such a neshama into this world. The Kedushas Levi really, he brought so much into this world of bringing Chassidus so easily accessible. His Svarim are just on the simpler level, as opposed to, let's say, something like the Sfas Emes, just making it so reader-friendly and exposing so many people to the world of Chassidus. Now, another story said about the Kedushas Levi, this is not in front of you yet either, that there's a certain Gvir, that was a tremendous machnas orchim. He invited a lot of guests, but his guests were always gedolim, tzaddikim, chashiv individuals. And all the gedolei ador who would come through Berditchev would always stay at this wealthy individual's house. When a stam yid came, a pashat yid come, he wouldn't take him in. He'd said, go down the block, there's another nice guy to stay at, but my house is reserved for the chashuvim. So Kedushas Levi wasn't scared of this gevir. And Kedushas Levi said to him, you know, they say Avram Avinu was Machnas Orchim, and he's called an Ish Chesed for being Machnas Orchim. By Vakasha, Lot was also Machnas Orchim. Lot was a tremendous Machnas Orchim as well, as we see in the Pesukim. When the Malachim came to Sodom, even though that place was completely corrupt, he invited the Malachim in, and he took care of them. So how come only Avram is called an Ish Chesed and not Lot? Because, as follows, Avram, when he saw the Malachim, what did he see the Malachim as? Regular people. They didn't look like Malachim to him. They looked like regular people. And yet he took them in. Lot only took in the Malachim because they looked like Malachim. He saw them as Malachim. So if you want to be like Lot, so then you only take in the Chashuvim, only the Gedolim, the Tzaddikim. If you want to be like Avram, Ish Chesed, Kedushas Levi taught him, you have to take in every single Jew. And that also really captures the Kedushas Levi's mentality, his hashkaf on life, that every single Jew counts. Every single Jew, even though they look like they're doing something wrong, he was always done the kaf schus, just like we saw, we read that story of that Yid who was wearing talis and tefillin while fixing the wheels of his wagon. Now let's read inside this story I copied. There's just one page, the two sides. It starts on the bottom of Uvda Sheshemati. You have a piece of paper? So it quotes, Uvda Sheshemati is found in Emes V'Yotziv. Uvda Sheshemati, I heard a Maisa, Rav Chaim Ber Shesipur, he told the Minchas Alazar, Shepam Achas Hayah Rav HaKadosh, Mir Rav Dichov, Zechus Yogin Aleinu, Cholim Ma'od. One time, Kedushas Levi was ill. And Harofim Lo Matzu Refu B'Derech HaTeva L'Mal Chalasa. The doctors came, they looked into him, they checked him out, and there was nothing we could do. The machal was so advanced, there was no longer any hope they could, any change, any medication they could give him. Vamu, they said, Shazakuk l'nes k'dev l'rfo, so you need a nes. The only way this individual is going to be saved is davening tefillah in a nes. He told all his different shamashim, his gabayim, to not bother him while he rests on the bed. He didn't let anyone inside his inner room. So right now, Kedusha Levi is on his bed. He's sick, lying down in bed all by himself. What happens? El Yashru Anshe Shlomo Becheidah Samach. There is all his servants or his assistants were all outside the room waiting to see what would happen. Vispalul Rufa, so they're all davening in the room next to the Kedusha Levi. Upitom, suddenly, Shamu Kol Rashi, he heard some rumbling going on inside the Kedusha Levi's room. Now remember, he's very ill. He said, not much hope left. He can't move much. And they hear some rumbling around inside. Upascha Adalas, they open up the door. Umotzias Harav HaKadosh Mibraditchev Zichus Yogen Olenu Shochival Arts. He's now lying on the floor. Kinafa Mehamit, he fell off the bed. Umiharu, they ran in quickly, Laharimo, to lift him up. Lachzer Lashkivo, to lie him down back on the bed. He's ill. He can't be on the floor. How'd he fall off the bed? The Chazkut Stad the Amita, they fixed the sides. They must have had railings of some sort to make sure he doesn't fall off the bed again. And Be'ofen Sheshuv Lo Yipol, so this way he doesn't fall. The Chazul Tfilas and the Kibir Shon, they left the room, closed the door, and they started to daven again outside the room. Lo Archa Shah, not much time passed by. And the Shamu Es Kolo HaKadosh, they heard the sound of the Kedusha Levi, Shekore L'mishamish Shiyavi L'fanav Maim L'itayadav. He had summoned one of his shamashim to bring some water for him. Ki baruch Hashem hu tavlo, he felt much better. V'chein haya sh'ad mehera hu tamatzim b'riyasu. And suddenly, he was completely fine. V'chazo li'isanu harishon, and went back to his original strength. V'charkach sipor l'anshe shlomo, afterwards, he told the people, his friends, his close friends, his close assistants, eich kesha'ya mutal mishkavo, how he was lying on the ground, on the bed, v'shama ma'ashamu harofim, he heard what the doctors were saying. And as he heard the doctors, what they were saying, his prognosis, Nizkar Masha Shama, he remembered what he heard from the Magid HaKadosh Mimezrich Zechus Yogein Olenu, one of his Rebbeim. Shema Shevotech B'Hashem Chesed Yisov Avenu. What does it mean that those who put their trust in Hashem should surround you? This is a tremendous lesson, requires tremendous bitachon, not an easy task at all. Ein HaYeshua Ba Kitashlum Schar. A person's Yeshua, everyone looks for Yeshua, we all look for Yeshua in different areas of life. The Yeshua doesn't come as a tashlam schar, as a payment, as a reward, ba'ad midas habitachon shebo. It's not because, oh, since I bitachon, I then get a reward. It doesn't work like that. It's not give and take. Os kiskul, it's not a trick, laham shech neis, it's not some, backdoor trick to get in Hashem, chutz l'derech hateva, outside the teva. It's not a backdoor trick. Reminds me of a story of Rav Yashav. It's brought down in the article book. At one time, Rav Yashav was zochet to be a sandik at, I don't know, like a sixth generation grandchild or something, whatever how many generations he lived to. He was a sandik at that boy's bris. So the Mo'el says to Rav Yashav, as if the Rav Yashav didn't know this already, he says, it's a big skula of Olam Haba to be a sandik at your great, a sixth generation grandson. Obviously, Rav Yashav didn't need that at all. But his response was what was key. He says, I want to go through the front door. I don't want to go through the back door. I don't want to look for any segulas. Your segulas could work and things like that. I'm looking for the front door entry. I want to earn that. I want to earn that. It's not a segula. So the Kedusha Levi is saying, it's not a segula, this concept of Yeshua comes because of bitachon. That's not how it works. This is the key line. How does Yeshua's work? Shekein bara Hashem yisbarach es teva ha'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. This is the science of the world. She'agever asher sham sam b'Hashem miftacho. A person who places his bitachon Hashem, it's not because of reward punishment. Yifal ha'nitzach lo, whatever is needed will come. That's a reaction. When you pour water over fire, the fire goes out. That's just how teva works. So when you have bitachon, then Yeshua comes. It's simple math. And therefore, he had that thought when he heard the doctor saying that his prognosis was terrible. So the Mali Hashem Chasorna Kadosh Baruch Hu then through the bitachon is going to fill in anything you're lacking. Umitoch kach, because of this, chashavti, I thought to myself, says the Kedushas Levi, I have the strength, I have the ability to trust in Hashem. That's all. It's all based on my bitachon. Based on this true bitachon he had, Tavo Yeshua, so my Yeshua is going to come b'derech hateva through the nature, not through any nisim. I'm not going to be included under those who rely on nisim, which people who rely on nisim and are rewarded in nisim lose schar. I don't want to lose schar. I want to just work within the teva. But kachas isi, this is what I did. When we toch bitchoni, I had such great bitachon. Kamti leired me'amita. Remember, he was deathly ill. He says, I'm fine. He told himself he's fine. He got off the bed. I'm not the faulty large. I wasn't strong enough yet. I had the bitachon. I tried standing up on 2 feet and I collapsed. But I had mamash bitachon. Shafti viharti. I thought again to myself. Halo b'li safek. It can't be. B'li safek. That divrei ha-magid zechus yogenu leinu, the magid mimezer told me this, amasim. It must be true. V'lo malo niskaim would be. Why didn't it work for me? Ein ze ela, because if the magid said it works, that part of the teva is, bitachon means Yeshua, so how come I just had bitachon, and I collapsed to the ground? How come it didn't work? The magid said it must be true. So lo malo niskaim would be. Why didn't it work for me? It must be, he says, ein ze ela ki ein bitchoni b'shleimus. It must be because my bitachon isn't complete. I'm lacking somewhere. V'yesh ba'ez pagam. There's something I'm lacking, my bitachon. Okay, and therefore, es chazek od pam b'bitachon shalom. I'm going to try again, this time with 100% bitachon. I trust that everything's fine. V'az b'vadei akum b'refuah shleimah. And then for sure, since the Magid said it, it must be true. I'm going to have a complete refuah. V'kein asisi. That's exactly what I did. V'ayedeze. Through this, told el Hashem Yisbarach, tremendous thanks to Hashem. Chazarti l'biusi k'berishona. I was able to go back to my initial strength, like the guarantee, the bitachon in a Kadosh Baruch who always rewards you back with a Yeshua. Okay, there's another ma'aseh here. That's not I don't have it in front of you. But one time the Berditchever was once in shul, and I didn't say exactly how they did this, but it was a custom in many places that each individual would say Birchas HaShachar by themselves, then answer Amen, then the next person would say Birchas HaShachar. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Do the Sfardim do this? Maybe I imagine some. Not even the Sfardim.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Not in Sfardim.
Okay. So I've never seen it before. Not even my Syrians either. So
they show up early.
But early. Okay. Early. I thought Sfardim try to extend davening as much as they can. But okay.
That's why we daven at Eish, because it's so long.
Okay.
No.
So either way. So he must have been a place where they're davening brachos. Or everyone says brachos, and then so he was davening brachos, and he skipped a important bracha. Shlolas Nigoy. It's a very strange bracha to miss. So afterwards he asked him, what were you doing skipping the bracha Shlolas Nigoy? So he responds back to them, when I was in my bed, I woke up this morning, Hayalo Shivrol Nei Mod, I was very heartbroken. Lahayalo B'mal L'chazik Atmai, nothing to really, like, what am I doing waking up in the morning? I have nothing going for me. Like, who am I? What am I accomplishing in this world? I have no advantages, no strengths, no nothing. Ad sha'alal adaito, until he realized in his mind, shakopanim todasahu mitzad shorish kedushas Yisrael. I'm thankful the fact that I came from kedushas Yisrael. That's enough of a reason for me to wake up this morning and to be thankful. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at learning. I'm not good at basketball. I'm not good at anything. I'm not good at making money. I'm not good in business. I've got nothing going for me, said the kedushas Levi. But at least I come from kedushas Yisrael. So he wanted to say, he said at that moment in the morning, before everything else, he said the bracha b'simcha rabba. He said the bracha shelo asani goy, and through that he was able to be meshiv nafsho and to really give himself that confidence and ability to wake up in the morning to say that he really is something special. Should we do one more? Okay, we'll do one more, and then we'll stop. It's not in front of you though. Okay. Another mice, the one time they asked the Kedushas Levi, how come when he davens it takes so long? I remember I mentioned something like this the other day, that when you come back from Eretz Yisrael, remember when I came back from Eretz Yisrael, so everyone, you have a nicer, longer davening. So I was mentioning the other time that all the adults, all the parents would make fun of the guys, would chuckle. Remember the guys from OJ would always come back with hats and they'd chuckle very much in davening. There was one time the Tivaria Kota were told not to chuckle, so we came back, didn't want to cause any ruckus in the shul. So but I remember someone saying, what takes that guy so long? I don't know, is it extra words he's saying? That's not my sitter. How long does it take him to say these words in the sitter? So they asked Kedushas Levi, what takes him so long to daven? So we all have the same sitter, we're all saying the same words. So Kedushas Levi said, if you remember, by the way, this also had a similar maisa with the Baal Shem Tov, Reb Gershon, his brother-in-law. I don't know if you remember this. That story, Erev Shabbos Mincha, and because the Baal Shem Tov says, because I'm Zochot, they see all these different neshamos that come to me, Erev Shabbos, and so Reb Gershon says, I also know how to do the kavanas. Why can I do this? Baal Shem Tov told him which kavanah to have. He saw an overwhelming amount of neshamos come to him, and he passed out. So Kedusha Levi had a different response as to why it took him so long to daven. So he says, this is very powerful, real chizik and tefillah. When I say the first thing in the morning, we're supposed to say, we learned this in the morning, Chabur, we started this week, Mishabura. We learned the idea, of course, to say Moda'ani, the first thing you say when you wake up. So what do I do when I say Moda'ani? When I say the word Ani, Rak Sateva HaRishona Moda. So I say Moda first, rather. Nofalai Pachad V'Rada Gedola. When I say the word Moda, thank you, expression of appreciation, I'm overwhelmed with this pacha, this fear, I'm trembling. V'ineni shol la'atzmi, I ask myself, while I'm saying the word mode, this all going through his mind, mode, eich, u'bima, how, and with what, yichol, l'hodis la'ashem, who am I to thank Hashem? Just that very first word he says every single morning, mode, I'm thanking Hashem? Who am I to thank Hashem, ha'gadol, ha'gibor, v'anora? That's the first word, that's mode, so that takes a few moments. It's not a mode, anif, l'necha, he says mode, and he thinks. Then he gets the word ani. Kasher ani, magila tevas ani, as a pachad misgadel, it gets even greater, the fear. Umisrabe etzli b'chashvi, ani, me? I'm being mode? Mani, umiani, what am I? Who am I? Eichani yachal odas. How does anyone mode tasha? Number two is, how am I mode tasha? And then we're not done. I'm not a pachrezeh odeni uchal nasa. That I can handle. Modani, it's hard. I can handle. I could withstand that weight of the pachad. Ach kasher ani magil l'tevas. When I get to the word lefanecha, to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to speak directly to Hashem, hineni choshe b'dayti, I think in my mind, kshem modani tzarech lios lefanecha, I need to admit to Hashem in front of His face, lefnei melech malchei amlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then that's too much for me. Then I pass out. And that's why it takes him so long. Every single word of Tefillah, that's just the beginning. That's the first three words of the day. Imagine every other word it takes, what he thinks about during the entire Tefillah, that's why it takes him so long. So obviously, none of us are on those levels. We won't ever be on such a level. But at least it's a good way to finish off, to have those who daven Ma'ariv soon or Shacharis tomorrow, maybe go a little slower, maybe appreciate some of the words, or maybe stick, you know, maybe Shema, Shemini Esrei, Ashrei, have a few Kipitl Tehillim that we're saying, maybe have some focus on those, to say them a little bit slower, to have somewhat of an appreciation the zechus of Kedushas Levi, to help strengthen our own tefillah, our own connection to HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, shkoyach again for hosting. Mishem, we'll continue this to next week.